W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden bows out of a speaking event in Las Vegas.
He just tested positive for COVID.
Janet Mugwira, president of Unidas U.S., the president was supposed to speak at the Hispanic Civil Rights Group's convention. Earlier today, California Congressman Adam Schiff urged Mr. Biden to drop out of the race and, in his words, pass the torch. Law enforcement officials told lawmakers at an unclassified briefing that 20 minutes passed between the time Secret Service snipers first spotted Thomas Matthew Crooks on a roof and the time shots were fired. Vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance addresses a Republican National Convention tonight.
We're going to get out there and try to fire up the crowd tonight and make the case, a very easy case to make, but an important case to make, that we have got to reelect President Donald J. Trump to the White House.
Vance had a fundraiser today in Milwaukee. The Dow closed above 41,000 for the first time ever. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee's police chief is defending five officers from Columbus, Ohio, who shot and killed a homeless man outside the convention perimeter yesterday. Jeffrey Norman says Samuel Sharp Jr. was threatening another homeless man with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
Homeless advocates demanded investigation. Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde is going after President Biden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on foreign policy, immigration, the high cost of living, and crime.
Biden and Baldwin have failed. President Trump and I will get the job done.
Hovde delivered a primetime speech at the convention last night. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Former Waupaca County Assistant District Attorney Benjamin Szilagyi has been charged with two felony counts of battery or threat to a judge or prosecutor. According to the criminal complaint, 42-year-old Szilagyi sent a threatening text to a Waupaca County judge and phoned a Waupaca County prosecutor and threatened her. An arrest warrant was issued for Szilagyi yesterday. No court dates have been set. Shoppers in Manitowoc County will pay more at the cash register starting January 1st. The Manitowoc County Board, in an 18-6 vote, approved a 0.5% sales tax for the county Tuesday night. Manitowoc has never had a sales tax before. The half-cent tax will be added to Wisconsin's 5% sales tax. Increased revenue from the tax is expected to cover a $6 million budget shortfall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Bucks sign a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks lost to the Clippers 112-97 in summer league action in Las Vegas. Now, guard Patrick Beverley has left the team. He was suspended four games for whipping basketball at some fans' heads in frustration after their season-ending loss. Well, after getting no offers from other teams, Beverley has now joined the Israeli Basketball League. So the Bucks have signed shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. The 25-year-old has spent the last 3 years with the Raptors. Baseball, for the 10th time in 11 years, the American League has won the All-Star game again, this time 5-3 over the National League. The Red Sox's Jaron Duran named the game MVP thanks to his two-run homer in the fifth to put the game away. The Brewers' William Contreras and Christian Yelich unable to get a hit, but Yelich says he enjoyed the week in Arlington anyway, like seeing Bryce Harper.
It's really cool baseball, so we're all a little similar. We can relate to a lot of the same things, and myself and Bryce, see all these guys so many years later still kind of doing the same thing. It's always pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, then mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s. Right now it's 73.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
At Uline, they know firsthand the road to success is an uphill climb. Uline started in the family basement, and through hard work is now North America's most trusted shipping and industrial supplier. They get what it means to have the support of reliable, hardworking partners, so they keep 41,000 items ready to ship. Whether your company is still in a basement office or expanding cross-country, Uline will be there on your road to success. Visit Uline.com.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Wednesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, and Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, yes. Well, one of them's here, Teacher Joanna. How are you, Teacher Joanna? Good to see you tonight.
Great to be here. Good to see you guys.
Man, we got so much to talk about tonight, and we're going to get to it pretty quickly. Johnny Lupinacci, though, tell you what, how about you, my friend? What's going on with you?
It's Wednesday. It's midweek. You know, it's summer still, but you know, there's a lot going on. So much has happened. We've been talking about it on the show. We had great guest last night, right? Her book talking about testing and inequality.
Wendy Warren. I mean,
the illusion of equality and really connecting the dots historically and in present time between eugenics, institutionalized racism, and standardized tests and the test-based policies. So really good work. We're going to be talking with Wendy Warren, folks. If you liked that show as much as we did, we're going to be talking to her more because there's just so much stuff. And Tim, you and I, right? Educated educators talking education. We're always just hammering away at these tests. And teachers out there know why, because they're like up to here. And I'm giving for the folks on the stream. Remember, you can catch the stream on Facebook through the Civic Media page, or through the Busted Pencils page. You can watch us on YouTube or streaming live from the StreamYard if you're listening and you want to see. I sit up to here and I'm holding my hand way above my bald head to say, teachers, I've had it up to here with standardized tests, but yet they keep coming at us. All the data, all of the things we need to do to help teach our kids better, that every teacher out there knows, like, okay, enough. We have so many other pressing concerns also related to the development academically, socially, emotionally, all the ways our kids need us to be great teachers. Enough with the test data, please.
Enough.
So that was a great show. Tim, I also got to squeeze in there before we get into, you know, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, because Teacher Joanna's in the Milwaukee area.
I am.
So we're gonna get to her tonight. And Jess, who's on the ground in the newsroom at the Walk Studio. But before we jump into that, you know what else? Pretty close to Milwaukee, Minocqua Brewing Company. The Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. Those guys, Kirk and his crew, are big time advocates for public education and are always working hard to build community. And man, they're slinging a lot of beer over at the MBC this week and all summer long. The most sued brewery in America, right? Because they're defending democracy any way they can. Making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. So what's the temperature?
I know. You know, right to it.
Yeah, right to it.
Right to it. Teacher Joanna, what's the temperature in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, to be honest, I've stayed away from downtown. So the temperature's been cool because I do think a lot of people who live here are just, you know, we know the roads are closed and it's inconvenient. So honestly, I mean, I've noticed a lot more helicopter and airplane traffic. I'm noticing a lot of that. I think, you know, it's on our news constantly. And I wonder if that's the same by you guys or if that's because it's local here. And our billboards are going crazy. The opposing, right. The billboards are going, you know, the electronic billboards are going crazy with different messages from both parties. So yeah, we're here in Milwaukee. It's happening, but tomorrow's the last day, I think. And so, yeah as a local, I've just cut the downtown out of my life, which does kind of stink because you recognize you do, you know, you go there a lot or you go through there. And it's one of my ways to it impacts a lot of people's commute. Again, I know this isn't really the thing, but I ran into one of my former students yesterday who works, whatever. He was just telling me that day he was late because of the workaround with the traffic from getting from River West down to the South Side. But yeah, here we are. That's my reporting. I'm seeing the highways, the air, and I think everyone's sticking kind of close to home.
Nice. Jess, what's going on from the newsroom angle there in the Waukesha studios?
Well, the convention has been a little bit quieter today in terms of actual developments. Most of what we've been hearing a lot on the radio today is we're digging into this announced VP candidate of J.D. Vance. There's been a lot of investigation into who is this guy, what does he stand for, what is he bringing to the ticket, and starting discussions of, you know, what does this mean?
Yeah, and it's a big question on that one, too. J.D. Vance, 39 years old, okay, really addressing that issue of going, age, not on this one, no. This is a young man, ready to go, can be ready to take over for an aging president, if that would happen. So, but then the other thing I see as I'm looking at this, Johnny and Joanna and Jess, is the temperature's going up now again on the, Uncle Joe, come on, man, you need to step down, dude. This is getting serious now. Things are getting tough. The polling is not looking good. And in fact, today, Adam Schiff, a huge, strong Democrat, came out and he's running for Senate in California, really hoping to win that seat, said, hey, Uncle Joe, you've been great, but man, it's time to step down. And I see this and people are like, is this just a reaction? Is this overplayed? I know from the time that that debate all the way through now, and boy, the momentum that the Republicans are building during this convention, and I will give it to them. They are united 100%. They are delivering their message. Their message is frightening and still scary, but they're delivering it with unification. They're coming out strong. And man, Uncle Joe still is kind of sitting there. Well, when somebody tells me, dude, we've all told you it's time. It's now time. Johnny, I see you nodding on that one.
Well, Tim, I like that you brought it up. I kind of disagree about the unified message because to me, it's like it's the all-you-can-eat buffet of ideas to get support. And they're unified on that. It's everything and anything, including the kitchen sink. If you've been disconnected from American politics, and we're going to do everything we can to say whatever we can that doesn't fall too far out of our party lines, but we're trying to collect all those, I'll call them undecided voters, or people who are in question. And I'm hearing a lot of really mixed things, a lot of real big contradictions that I'm not afraid to point out. So I do think it's unified in that it's just serving up whatever.
Oh yeah.
Like at the Republican National Convention, whatever I can get my hands on. I'm like, well, that seems really contradictory to what Trump's politics have been about. Oh, this makes sense. J.D. Vance, who to me has shown time and time again that he is going to put people under the bus in terms of he's a real pick yourself up by your bootstraps kind of guy. I think it's smart. Yeah, he's young. So the party is saying, hey, let's appeal to a younger group. To me, it is one really untrustworthy extremely conservative agenda that everybody's trying to, everybody in the mix of the Republican National Convention is trying to sell off as like, as very wholesome and very American. And I just don't think that's representing the masses, including the group that they're appealing to. I was interested, and we'll have good follow-up on it coming up tomorrow with a big interview, and I'll tease that, and we'll
tease it,
we'll make your listener, you know who it is before we close out tonight, because you're going to want to tune in tomorrow. But related to tomorrow's interview, I did like to see that there was a Teamster, president of the Teamsters Union, who spoke on Monday night, basically, and you know, in my interpretation, saying we don't have a party. And that put, like you said, Tim, I agree with you, put the pressure on the Democrats to say, hey, what are we going to do? The Democratic Party has to do something to regain its foothold with labor unions. Now, I know it's just the Teamsters saying we're not endorsing anybody yet, but holy smokes, in my lifetime, Tim, like to not associate the Teamsters with the Democratic Party. I mean, my eyes were massive. And I think that's the pressure you're speaking to. Some credit to it coming through the news pipeline today, though. Joe Biden did test positive for COVID.
Oh,
so that's serious, man.
That's serious.
Got to rest, Joe. But like, there's no rest in this when there really needs to be. And that reminded me too, was like, oh, I'm so glad we'll have Educators Amplified tonight, Teacher Joanna, because Teacher Joanna and Educator Amplified, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna always remind us, remember, take a deep breath. Regulated adults, especially in education, is really, really important. So I was hearing those voices and not get to actually hear them. So here we are, Tim. I mean, that's for me kind of where things are with the RNC.
Right, man, a lot going on. Hey, Sherry from Horicon, good evening to you too, friends. Always love that when she's putting out that welcome. Man, no, we did not though, Jess, we did not reveal who that guest, we're just teasing. It's an important labor guest. You know, we'll tease a little bit more throughout the show. But yeah, Educators Amplified in the house, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to give us a call. And Sherry, thanks for those big smiley faces you just zipped in there too. Makes me happy to see when people are doing that. Teacher Joanna, though, when we get back, coming up on that first break, you know, we're going to bring this back, though, into the realm where you are always kind of giving us that sense of protecting childhood. I love that conversation piece. So there'll be a lot more to come on that. And then Johnny, too, a little bit more of connections with you there. Busted Pencils. Yeah, it's fully leaded. It's Education Talk, the RNC Convention, Republican National Committee, Milwaukee. So if you're like Teacher Joanna, you're like, you know what? I'm just staying home, not getting involved in that traffic. Too many airplanes, too many helicopters. Just too much. Stay in. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, who wants to go down there and hang out that there? It's Making America Strong Once Again, too, though. That's their new pitch, Johnny Lupinacci and Teacher Joanna. They're unified. Making America Strong Once Again. Well, Busted Pencils, that's what we are. Strong all the time. We'll be right back. Educators Amplified.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 1920s. 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified Wednesday in the house is Teacher Joanna. Give us a call. The number is 855-752-4842. If you want to jump in there and give us a call. All right, enough with the Republican National Convention. Oh, maybe this. So, but Teacher Joanna, you said, you know, coming out of the weekend, very shocking situation. And Johnny and I have been, you know, kind of throwing this out there. You know, this is going to present this really intensified teaching moment, you know, and if we were in school at this time, but the whole idea of controversy and not even controversy, but hard topics, how do we teach them? How do we bring them to the present and address them? Because we know the kids, whether they're fifth graders, whether they're middle schoolers, whether they're in high school, they're talking about this. They're seeing this. I mean, the shooter was 20 years old. He was just in high school a few years ago. This guy was, you know, some of our students, their peer. I mean, they get this. You talk about, though, you know, really trying to protect childhood, which I think is an awesome position. How do you do that with topics such as the attempted assassination of a president?
Well, I will say that when the news broke, I was with other teachers, and we were actually vacationing, you know, and it prompted conversation immediately of like, oh man, like this fall, this election cycle is going to be a challenge. And these are high school teachers that I was with, you know, is going to be a challenge as it is. And now this, you know, makes it, you know, it kind of like weaves together many things that have a social impact on students, right? Because it really is an election. It's adults in their lives, perhaps dysregulated because of the election. It's gun violence, which is something that they're always really hyper aware about and concerned about. Like you said, it's somebody, it's a peer. Our immediate reaction was just like, oh wow, we really better take care of ourselves and get set for this fall, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, I'm all about regulation, and regulation though, you know, it has a big root in the work of Dr. Bruce Perry, who talks about state-dependent functioning, right? And meaning like our brain state. And, our brain state. And there's basically five states. There's calm, there's alert, there's alarm, there's fear, and there's terror. And based on where you're at is how you're functioning. It's literally like what you're hearing, how much information you're able to retain. And so I think of that, you know, and how, you know, I'm always assessing like where the kids at, or ideally too, you're teaching them to identify that for themselves. So I just think when things are really charged, that seeps in, and we're going to just see more kids in alert, alarm, and fear.
Boy, as you went through that, I was just thinking about those states. And at first, because, you know, sometimes I'm slow on the, you know, I was like, states? What? Oh, those kind of states. Fear and terror? Yeah, boy, you think about that, because I have, you know, really from a standpoint, and we've talked about this on the show a couple times, I mean, you know, if you're already tilted in that direction towards a more anxious state anyway, these events like this can really charge those states in a way that can really, yeah, and I like the way you're saying, dysregulate, because I know when my anxiety switches over to fear and terror, I don't make the same decisions that I would normally make if I was not in that state. And I think about kids coming in the fall, as you said, you know, it's like this may have happened now in July, but the election is going to be in front of our faces all fall. It's going to be out there. And so, you know, some students are going to bring at this fear, this terror. So how do you address them in that way? Johnny, hopefully you're not in any fear states right now after hearing me talk.
No, Tim. I mean, I really appreciate this conversation. I look forward to our time with Educators Amplified all the time, and especially, you know, Teacher Joanna sharing her veteran experience, but also in her wisdom from a perspective of a kind of teaching that I wish more school leaders and teachers can be supportive of. And I really think we all need it. It's holding space for the importance of the, you know, the mental health and the well-being of the adults who are surrounding around kids, to be able to consider that the human life in our classrooms and in our schools is valued, and that we need to put time and support into that, not only for children, but for the adults who are working with those children. And it's so important, because I'm thinking, Tim, of myself as a young teacher. I didn't have these tools to work through and talk about my emotional health the way that I do now, you know, in the way that, you know, I've learned about these states of mind through, you know, supporting my own needing to heal, to be able to be present for children in a particular way that isn't always part of teacher education. And it certainly isn't supported in part of professional learning in a lot of schools. So I think it's really important to break that stigma that, you know, that teachers just come to the classroom ready to go and like not checking in on their well-being, especially as we're all teachers this summer who were already a bit anxious about the upcoming election and how we're going to teach. And we have those tools, and sure, on paper, and we can talk the talk, but when we go to walk the walk, there's a lot of factors that come into it. And so we were already anxious about the fall. Well, the summer has definitely turned up the anxiety. And, you know, for folks out there who have either PTSD or some trauma around these kinds of things, it is important to check in and really do some slow work around how are we going to teach together this fall? How are we going to support one another? How are we going to make sure children's needs are met? But so are ours, and so are the adults who are going to be present for those children. So thank you, Teacher Joanna, for bringing that back into the conversation for us. And Tim, for opening that up, that these are real things that teachers and all of us experience. But we all have our emotional reactions, our states of mind that we're in, that are often connected and linked to these kinds of events.
Well, Johnny, you brought this up too, and Teacher Joanna, you can jump in on this. Is that again, the fear, and we say the assassination, and the realization that our children, fear of gun violence is real. This is not something that you they see far off. I mean, the whole idea of how...
No, it's very real. It's something that is always on their mind, and something that they speak about, and whether they're external verbal processors and you're really hearing it, or they're internal processors and they're really thinking of it, it's present.
Yeah, it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education with our friend Teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified. The number is 855-752-4842. Get on the call. Give us your sense. How do teachers prepare for this fall? How do we get ready? How do we recognize the different states of mind that all of the children are going to be coming? And then truly the states of mind that you as an educator are bringing to this situation right now. We got a lot more to talk about when we get back. Responsibility. What's that? Responsibility. Not quite yet. Responsibility. What's that? I don't want to think about it. We'd be better off without it. I don't want to think about it.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's more at stake in Wisconsin than just the top of the ticket. With new legislative maps, Republican strategist Keith Gilks says it will take high-quality local candidates to win.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Gilks spoke at a luncheon yesterday put on by WISP Politics and the Marquette Law School. Congressman Derek Van Orden is making news again for getting into a confrontation. The Prairie du Chien Republican accuses an anti-war protester of assaulting him in downtown Milwaukee yesterday. Members of Code Pink say Van Orden started it, but he tried to shove past an activist. Milwaukee police say they're looking into it. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. EAA is more than just air shows and camping. Dick Napinski, Director of Communications, says it's also an opportunity for businesses to recruit employees.
There's still a need for pilots out there, air traffic controllers. There's a big need for that. There is opportunity for technicians. If you've got an engineering built bend or like to take things apart and put them back together, there is a spot for you out there.
Napinski adds that almost every university that has an aviation program will also be at EAA Air Venture next week recruiting. The city of Appleton provides residents with sandbags to help prepare for any future flooding event. Bags can be filled and taken home at Memorial Park from 7 a.m. till 2:30 through Friday. Residents must use their own vehicles, and the city cannot offer help filling or lifting the sandbags. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I've been jamming through Apple TV lately and discovered The Last Thing He Told Me. The show stars Jennifer Garner and is about a husband who mysteriously disappears. Garner and her stepdaughter are on the case to help find him, even though they don't really get along. The show does a good job of introducing new characters and keeping people guessing, and is set in beautiful Sausalito, California. All 7 Season 1 episodes are available, and Apple has renewed the show for a Season 2, which will drop in 2025. Being canceled can be quite beneficial, especially if you've been accused of sexual assault and cannibalism. Colossal weirdo Armie Hammer appeared on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast and said if he hadn't been canceled, his life would have met demise anyway due to the way he was living, reckless and out of control. Hammer says he has never been happier, despite being broke. I'm sure he's got some of that baking soda money tucked away somewhere. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, then mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s.
Right now it's 73.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. For more information, visit wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at wgbw.fm. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yeah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified. Yeah, they're in the house. Well, Teacher Joanna's here for sure. Wow. Talking about, yeah, everything that's happening and the idea of teachers dealing with the here and now, the present, the moment, and realizing that this fall is going to present lots of, the word opportunity just sounds wrong, but lots of challenging moments when I think teachers are going to have to really find how do they address this issue. So we said, you know, the attempted assassination of a presidential candidate was just right front and forward. One of the things I was talking about, Joanna, on Monday was too, is how incredibly amazed I was and even kind of knocked off my kilter at realizing how fast I was getting the information from TikTok, from all of these sources. It was like, you know, truly, I said fire hose. Johnny's like, yeah, not the fire hose. It's like getting right out of the fire hydrant, the way this was hitting you. And even that, I was thinking, your teacher's ready to be handling the way students receive this type of information.
And well, we've been dealing. I mean, we have been.
Right.
You know, like, this is how our world has changed, which is why, of course, I advocate for our system looking differently, because we do. We have new challenges and new complexity, and it's not all bad. But that is why when you guys were railing against tests, right, the very static, the very, like, it must stay the same, it's why it's problematic, because, again, like, life is, or information is really dynamic and changes so quickly now. Like, you're not waiting for a new edition of some book to be published. Like you said, it's second by second. And so that's kind of how our work has shifted. And I'd love to see that. That's a whole nother thing of the system, you know, shifting to that our work isn't just like static and predictable and scripted. It's, you know, I think there was a time, was it Finland? They adopted the whole like phenomena-based education, where it was like something about that, you know, kids are interested in the right now. And so how do you teach around the right now? Yeah, I think it was called phenomena-based.
Ah, teach about the right now. That actually sounded really powerful stuff, because yeah, that's really what's happening. Oh, caller, Joanne. Madison, you're
got online. Joanna on the line.
Wonderful discussion. I just have a note. Besides just teaching about the right now, these amazing things that are happening in our lives give us a wonderful opportunity to connect with the elders in our lives and ask, what did you do when Reagan was shot? What did you feel? What happened in the world? What happened in the transition between Carter and Reagan? I was in grad school at the time, early grad school, and I remember people absolutely changing their positions. All of a sudden, they were for Reagan's positions as opposed to Carter's positions, because they were all wanted to be with the winning team. And it was scary to me. It was just frightening. All of these things we can learn from older people, and I would make an assignment for my students to give, if my class were in session, which isn't the case right this minute. To talk to an older person and get that sense of how to be resilient in the face of so much change. And again, fantastic discussion. Thanks so much.
Oh, Joanna, you want to respond to that?
Well, it's a great idea, right? That intergenerational, that saying, that can be a real steadying presence and force, right? To be like, what was your experience with this? I found myself sharing stuff like that with my students when the Ukraine war started. They were very scared, because again, it came live on their phones. Like, they were like scrolling, like, good times, whoa, and seeing really graphic, violent images, and it was messing with them. And they really were thinking that the world was going to end within like a few days. And I remember then sharing with them of my experience of being in high school and when the Gulf War happened, and how I just, instructive, like hearing someone who's built that resilience, been through something. So I just think, right, Joanne's a teacher. She's got it going on of like, here's what we can do. Ask what's happened before relationally, find out.
Busted.
Well, there it is. As true as the bell rings every day at Busted Pencils, we have our segment, Democracy in Action, and it couldn't ring more true to the perfect moment for that tonight. Remember, every example of democracy in action is something linked to core democratic values. Today's discussion, right? I can't help but see the connection between what Joanna's recentering us on, what Joanne called in about, what we're all kind of grappling with here, is the important work that teachers do, that educators do, to value life and the pursuit of happiness. So two core democratic values in today's democracy in action and the discussion, life. Every citizen has the right to the protection of his or her life, not the right to just learn, but the right to their life, their health, their well-being in the spaces that we convene together. And the pursuit of happiness. Each citizen can find happiness in his or her own way, so long as he or she does not step on the rights of others. Right. And so it's not anything goes, but valuing this whole person, whether it's just the educator or whether it's the children in the educator's classroom, that life is important. And it's more than just the academics. It's all the ways that a person's presence is recognized and valued as part of the community. Right. Mm-hmm. And their right to the pursuit of happiness. Right. Happiness doesn't come without health. We're talking a lot tonight about the importance of teachers' health and the health of children in our classrooms. Appreciate caller Joanne for bringing that up today. I love that kind of continuity around asking for intergenerational conversations, because these moments sometimes do feel like, how did we get here? And why is this happening? Guess what? Folks have experienced similar things. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And so if anybody's caught that rhythm, tell us the story. So thank you, Joanne, for calling. Teacher Joanna, thank you for reminding us all about the states of mind, about the importance of all of this, and about taking a deep breath and not necessarily assuming that children aren't ready for these conversations or they're not getting this information, but reminding us about the importance of calm when we come together to learn, because we are going to learn and things are going to happen.
Well, the job of teaching is teaching, and teaching happens when students' brain or learning happens, when there can only happen, we're in the state of calm. And so that's always our challenge, is how do we create a community of care where there's a prevailing state of calm so that students can learn. Again, I said it in the last segment, I'll say it again. I want the system to like be there with me in it, in terms of having a lot of our practices and philosophies align with how do we promote the brain state of calm in children through how things are organized, you know, just like literally like the design of the day, the number of people in the room, you know, the access to, we've talked about before, healthy food, water, physical movement, all of that. So I just, that's our job. We can only teach in a state when students are, when the brain is in a state of calm. So that's what I'm always reaching for.
Question on that though, Teacher Joanna. I know sometimes when I'm teaching, you're making me think about this. Some of the content and topics I bring up actually introduce disturbances. Mm-hmm. And that's intentionally as a teacher bringing in and knowing that sometimes a controversial topic that I'm going to bring to the class, it's going to actually not create calm. It's going to disrupt calm.
Well,
I want feedback from you.
The state of calm doesn't necessarily mean that you're never going to, that there's never going to be a bad feeling or something that comes up, but it means that you have established that you're in a safe place. You know what I mean? That you're not under threat. And I'm talking like really biologically here. Again, I'm not just talking about like, I feel threatened because of what you said, but literally kind of like the more environmental and biological factors. But no, calm and good doesn't mean the complete absence of pain or sadness or worry. It means being able to move through those things or recognize that you can have that feeling, think that way, but that in general, you are safe and you're supported, and that your brain is at ease. It's not under threat.
Yeah, because when when I'm teaching social studies, Johnny, and I'll just jump in here too, is just that, you know, one of the key, objectives is creating a sense of empathy with our students. And sometimes that sense of empathy can really only be accomplished if a student starts to feel a little bit of the emotions people may have been feeling at that time. If we're talking about a period in history, to create that empathy kind of takes them down. And so when we're explaining and talking about slavery and the horrors of the slave trade, they read about that, they see how people were put into these really horrible conditions. And there's a part of that that says, because to get to that empathy, they have to know how horrible it was. Johnny?
Tim,
you're challenging me.
Not challenging you so much as just like parsing out some of the details of this. What Joanna's explaining and what you're asking here, I think, is a common question that educators grapple with. And I think we've been given a bad example of it in a lot of contexts. And one of those contexts related to the right now is political discourse, right? Is the language that both parties, the left, the right, all the folks are using is pretty extreme. And it's a constant state of dysregulation. Mm. Now, this calm and regulated state, Joanna's saying, it requires that we are present and tending to it, right? And as it, like she said, kind of like a garden, like in a biological, ecological sense, the ecology of our classrooms is really thought about. What's the balance? Is how are needs being met? And how are we inviting? And I want to draw on the example of social justice educator Jesse Agopian, recent guest on the show, talked about it's important to teach sometimes controversial things, but in a way that comes from strong information, mm-hmm. and at ease, in a sense of routine and invitation to think critically, think differently, share how we feel, talk about where information's coming from, and involve multiple perspectives. I think critical educators, Tim, struggle with this, and a lot of them have gotten this wrong for a really long time, especially social justice educators and social studies educators. They say, because people suffered, you got to suffer to understand the suffering. And it's been largely neglectful of the trauma and the experience that children bring to them in the classroom, that even educators ourselves may have close to us, that's related to our ancestors, our identity, our lived experiences, our community experiences. And they think, because it's human rights, because it's facts, because it's about teaching the truth, they can do it in a way that will help move the needle, like will help gain understanding. But it's largely missed the boat on, you know, no pun intended there, but largely missed the whole point that if we don't do this, recognizing that in order for us to understand differently, we have to have some common ground that isn't about agreeing, but it is about knowing that we're safe with one another, knowing that it's okay to think differently. It's okay to learn. It's okay to unlearn some of the things we thought might be true, or to have emotions related to what's going on and work through them in connection with facts that are brought to us. So in sum, too often teachers are teaching controversial topics in a way that I feel, and I think Joanna's speaking to, are from a point of dysregulation. And they continue to throw sort of gasoline on the already burning fire.
Mm. No, I mean, as you're talking to me now here, I'm sitting there. It's making me rethink some situations and lessons I've done in the past. And, you know, I really appreciate the way you link that back to Jesse Agopian, our guest from Rethinking Schools, in that partnership, and teacher Joanna, because, yes, how do we approach these topics? And I think anybody listening today right now, boy, what a great learning opportunity today. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, we're here. Producer Jess, you know, throwing out some challenging school topics. How do we approach them? Well, man, we're going to have it in a whole way coming up in the fall. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. A little bit more when we get back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Here we are, coming back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yes, Tim, I know you hear my voice. 855-752-4842. If you're like, Tim, no, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to Tim Mickleworth, the lead singer for Rise Against there in the back. He was saying he could hear my voice. I know he likes to jump in sometimes. I'm just saying thank you, Tim.
Tim,
appreciate
I thought you were losing it.
Yeah, see, I knew it. I just, you know, I got
it's not so
I
much the scamming. It's the talking to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, don't bring up the scamming again. Oh my gosh.
That's Tim's
you got schooled.
I got schooled, and we're not going to go back there again. Busted Pencils, yeah. Hey, teachers, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna with us tonight. Boy, talking about what's coming up, classrooms, the fall, challenging content, controversial content, disturbing content, All of those adjectives are very accurate for what the current moment is. It's disturbing. It's challenging. It's controversial. It's emotional. It's heightened. Teacher Joanna, give us some regulation here.
Well, I had said that my mindset, how I'm preparing, is again, like, what am I anticipating that kids will need? And how will I kind of, I use the words like protect their childhood, but really by that, I mean, how can I not have my space contribute to the stress that they're already feeling to, you know, and so how do I make sure that school is a safe, healthy, regulating space for them? And it reminds, I mean, I've been through it before. I've been through elections before. We've had wars happen. We've had violence, you know, and, you know, mass violence, news of all that. And actually returning from COVID was a huge, like, that was a big learning curve, or where it was like everybody's needs were really intensified. And so I think we've been on that trajectory, but I do want students to be able to be students. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to be in their best brain state so that they are having healthy relationships and that relationships aren't strained, you know, so that they are able to think critically, so that they are able to create imaginatively. Like, that is what will be on my mind. So it is interesting because you guys might ask, or whatever barbecues I end up at the rest of the summer, people will be like, what are you going to do with the kids and all this? And what I'm going to do is what I've always done. I'm going to have my profound respect for children, and I'm going to support their needs.
Nice.
Yep. Tim, I think this is really good reminder. And I love that, because you know what I was thinking when we put that question out there, what do we do to prepare? I like that teacher Joanna was saying that. One of the things I hear is, you know, staying optimistic. So I want to flip the discourse that we're surrounded by right now. That's like, it's all going to ruin. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. And really flip into modeling, standing out. Remember our lessons, 20
there
lessons.
There you go, brother.
Century standing out. So I'm standing out as someone who works with teachers who are preparing to be in the classroom, who is in the classroom, who's around children, both as students, but also my own children and their friends. And they're inspiring. And I like that teacher Joanna talks about their childhood, not so much as in a paternalizing way, but she's talking about it and they're the future. So also standing out by being protective of their right to a future, to an optimistic future that they're going to be active and a part in. And what I'm going to do is model regulation and getting this information, not only to them, but processing it myself. And I'm going to tell them that I truly believe they deserve better from their country, and they'll be that, but that they all deserve better, because right now I'm furious and I'm angry. And so as an educator, I'm going to be working through that, my therapist and all my practices of regulation myself, because I'm just angry for children right now. They deserve better, especially in the wake of the events of this last weekend, an assassination attempt that rings so true to how many of their lives have been endangered through school shootings. And yet repeatedly, the discourse is of this victimness that the Republican Party is experiencing. And I'm thinking about every child, regardless of their family's political affiliations. And every teacher goes to school kind of in a sense of fear and already a state of dysregulation because of guns in this country. And so I think they deserve more respect. They deserve more recognition. And that they're part of this conversation of how do we have safe communities, not just so that we can have elections, so that we can be in community together. And that's really important to me. Hey, speaking of being in community together, tune in, right? It's only one more day, but there's still lots to talk about. The Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee now through tomorrow. Stay up to date on all Civic Media's coverage on the RNC at civicmedia.us/RNC. For a daily recap with Civic News Director Terry Bell and host Todd Alba, tune in from 7 to 8 p.m. each evening. Hey, folks, tomorrow, Todd's joining us on Busted Pencils. So not only tune into those weekly recaps, but we hope you join us tomorrow, because Todd's joining us for a recap. Great night tonight. Tim, if you're in Madison, head out to the NBC. Right?
There you go. Brewing
Company sponsors Busted Pencils. We appreciate that sponsorship. And we enjoy your beer. So get out there and see where you can grab your progressive beer. Tim, I think we teased it, but I think you should announce it.
I was going to say,
tomorrow, big guest, not just Todd joining us, but we've got a special guest. Tim, tell us about our guest tomorrow.
Really special guest. Looking forward to this. Again, and if anybody's been watching what's going on at the convention, particularly the Teamsters, teachers, the Teamsters, what happened there? They presented, they talked, okay. We got some labor. The president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, is going to be on Busted Pencils tomorrow night. We're going to be putting these questions to her, Johnny. It's like, where do these parties stand when it comes to the work of teachers, the labor of teachers, and making sure how we're going to talk about how we elevate that? And we kind of put this out there too, Johnny. It's like, for a long time, both parties have not been friends to the teacher labor movement, for sure. So we're going to be looking forward to this guest tomorrow night. So Randy Weingarten on the show. And join us too, the beginning of the show, Todd Alba talking about recapping everything there. And teacher Joanna, Educators Amplify, thank you so much for your busting pencils tonight. And we'll be back tomorrow night.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocates Thursday. Very special RNC coverage. Former Governor Scott McCallum at 4:20. Our friend in labor, Rick Smith, at 4:30. Join us.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.